Okay, we have received our permission to record.
That was amazing.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Paper out, tell me whether you're in town or out of town.
Okay.
Okay, let's see.
What's your name, ma'am?
Jane.
Jane. Jane is working the desk. She's got a name tag, so.
Okay, so how many people are visiting the museum with you? Adults, children? I feel really.
You've got facial hair, so we'll mark you as an adult.
Okay. So where do you live? We live in Champaign County.
Yes.
Okay. Where did you hear about us?
Radio. Radio. Definitely.
All right. Yeah. Are you doing a radio spot for us also?
Yeah, we're going to be broadcasting this on the air. We read your public service announcements that come into the station.
Okay.
So they're big favorites of ours.
Let's put more.
That's if you want on our mailing list.
Right.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. Right.
Mark W. Hayden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't read out my address because this will be over the air.
I know. I'll say it later when you're not.
How long have you worked at the Early American Museum?
15 years.
15 years.
Mm-hmm. It's about 15 years.
Neat. So, do you live in town then?
Mm-hmm. I live in Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. How did you wind up at the Early American Museum?
Well, Cheryl is our director, and she was a good friend of mine. And I had just finished a job, and she asked me if I would come and do this job. She said, "You like people real well, so why don't you come and try it?" And
well,
so I like this well. I've been here 15 years.
That's great.
Looks like a good place to spend some time.
Mm-hmm. You just put it in that box.
Put it in that box? Okay.
Okay.
I figured everything out.
Okay. Well, you gentlemen, just go ahead and look around. And
thank
if you need any information, come back and we'll try to help you.
Okay.
And thank you very much. You have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you on the way out.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we know right away that they're very helpful here at the Early American Museum.
There's a little hanging.
They've got some very well constructed dioramas here.
Yes, they're very well constructed. That one actually looks a lot like my audio footnote.
Yeah, it really kind of does. I almost walked into that one and sat down. then I discovered it was far too big.
Right.
And it is, in fact, a diorama.
There's Buddhas kind of caught in that one.
Buddha?
And that Buddha back there? Yeah. Buddha, back there, under the picture.
Oh,
green,
Buddha, yeah.
Jade looking.
It's sneaky. It's a very nice Buddha, though. I mean, if you think about, you know. Oh. Okay. Wow.
That's great.
So this was constructed by one man, Bob Haven. He...
That is his hobby.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at it.
He's very good at it.
Excellent.
If you think about it, you know, a Buddha that size in real life, if you think about this in terms of scale.
That's a huge Buddha.
That would be a very large Buddha.
That would be a very large Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Star Wars stuff over here, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, strangely excited. I don't know if Star Wars is old enough to be called part of the early American portion of America's history. But Star Wars is definitely there. We've got old and original trilogy, so this is very thorough.
Yes, it's very thorough.
Uh-huh.
It's very thorough.
Good man.
There's a Naboo fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Some good stuff going on. Some sand people as dispensers and stuff.
Keep being drawn back to these dioramas.
Yeah.
Very thorough.
Oh, there's some angels, like an angel collection from Shea Lee.
Nifty.
This one's and then a rabbit. And some bean babies.
So it looks like this is constructed by children. This is a garbage can right here.
It's a very nice garbage can.
It's constructed by someone named S.T. Regis.
We're going to go into the second room.
Okay, we're in the second room now.
We're collecting the past. We've got a horseshoe pad, which is really nice because now this is a precursor. This is one of the original ones that Dr. Scholes came up with.
Oh, okay.
They were to relieve bunions and corns on horsey feet. So that's it was really nice of them to do for their horses.
This is very nice. We've got a culvert cleaner down here, invented by around 1930 by Ralph Chesebro to clean streets in central Illinois. As we all know, before 1930, culverts were generally filthy.
Yes,
culverts were just filthy, so this sorted that out, and that's why we never have any problems with our culverts these days.
Can you guess how they were used? Cool. Well,
it's a donation of tools from a private collection, Mr. William Redhead.
The best part I like here is that, I mean, you guys can't see it, but there's this board tacked up at an angle, which has, it must be upwards of 50 rusty iron spikes cutting out of it. And it says, but then very careful, very prominently underneath, it says, "Please don't touch," which, you know.
Which is very good advice. Before that sign was placed in there, of course, people just used to plunge their hand down on it and push and push. And
that's a Hetchel.
Really bad.
I found out from lifting little doors.
Oh, but that's a Hetchel.
That's a fish spear.
Okay.
Over there.
That's a hatchel. That clears things right up. What exactly does a hatchel do?
I have no idea. It doesn't say.
She's got a very large hand. It can give you stigmata, I suppose.
That's a fruit peeler.
Okay.
Here's a fly catcher. Ooh, right there.
Oh, what a nifty device.
Yes, it really is.
That's a great idea. It's better than a lot of our modern fly catchers.
Yes, it really is. It's a little man, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
An apple slicer. A hay crook.
It's very
hey,
old.
Richard Nixon. There's a hay crook. And this is a potato planter. I had my own ideas about what that might be, but
yeah.
It's a really interesting device. You guys should come out and check out the potato planter.
For those of you who've got potatoes sitting around that are going nowhere.
Oh, some very nice hair combs.
Mm-hmm. Antique hair combs.
Very nice. Very mm-hmm. nice. And some pipes.
Very interesting. Cigar holder and case. It's a carved monkey head and amber stem.
That would be the meerschaum pipe.
Oh,
that's the cigar case.
Okay. No, that's what I'm looking at right there. You blow the smoke out the monkey's head, which says more in one sentence about American history than most textbooks do. Blowing the smoke out the monkey head.
I was incorrect.
Yeah.
You were right. I was wrong.
No problem.
Really nice.
That's part of the course.
Hey.
Doll with a metal head.
Which was actually the original name of Mark's techno band in the late 80s.
We had one hit. It was very good. It'll come back into vogue in about 10 years. You'll love it again.
It was very German, but he doesn't know German, mm-hmm. so it was very... But that has nothing to do with early American history. I mean, his techno thing does.
It's interesting because the doll says it's made in Germany.
I didn't even notice that.
The doll actually says that. The head spins around and says, I was made in Germany.
Here's a Stromberg Carlson Wall telephone from 1912.
This is what telephones used to look like in 1912.
They look like boobies right there, little bell boobies.
It really kind of does. It's strange fixations early America had.
But this is really nice, and it's really nice that they've retained the piece of wall that the phone was actually attached to. They've just torn that right out of someone's house.
The rain comes through that hole in that poor person's house now. But it's, you know, this is really something that a lot of people can see and appreciate, you know, what phones were like back then. I think about four people had phones in 1912, four or five of them. They just called each other.
Here's another one of these things where there's a lineman's wrench has a hole for screwing in steps on a telephone pole. It was used by linemen working for a rural Illinois telephone company. That's a neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is a little box, and that's a trinket box contains bottle stoppers, a Civil War bullet,
balls,
and shells.
I'm going to try to see that Civil War bullet. Can't pick out what it is. It looks probably like just glass and rocks.
It's that silver thing right there.
Okay, the silver thing. We have confirmation it's the silver thing.
There's a judge gavel. The school program is from the... Oh, no, this is the school program.
Oh, interesting. We have a... It's kind of a commencement little letter from the 1887 commencement of the Muhammad High School. The very first.
Commencement ceremony.
Started up in 1887. Before that, they just sent kids right off into the working world. Friday evening, May 6th, was a day in which Muhammad shook with commencement. Union Hall.
Oh, no, this is just a mallet used by Jacob H. Barnes and Marcellus W. Barnes. They use the mallet in tandem. When they worked as carpenters in Bemidji, Illinois, over 100 years ago.
Doing amazing things when we can trace mallets back to their users.
Five looks like a large pipe. Mm-hmm. Without drainage tiles like this one, it would have been impossible to farm the swampy ground in central Illinois. And last but not least, in 1869, Caroline D. Marl gave 50 cents to the construction of the Lincoln Monument. Caroline lived in central Illinois. That was a donation.
She went without two gumballs.
Well, back then, 25, like 50 cents.
Man. Yeah, that was multiple gumballs. That was,
like that
was several gumballs.
A riding saddle?
Riding saddle. We have here, you know, it's kind of a placard on it's very selective, the Early American Museum, you know, what they will collect, what they won't collect. And like collectors, museums have to specialize. So, you know, they say yes to the drainage tiles, no, perhaps, to, you know, some old person that you drop off here. You
right,
know, some
don't.
Kleenex from 1890. Although I don't really know that. So if you got some Kleenex from 1890, I'm not saying no.
Right, because we'll take it.
Right.
Butter mold.
Do you want your butter to mold?
It's for molding butter.
Oh, okay.
Into like a shape.
Hmm.
So that's nice. Yeah, there's some nice stuff over here. A big saw made by Distin and Sons, Philadelphia, in 1900.
Distin and Sons, the saw giant. there's the voices of children, so in the distance. They're demanding the door be opened. We don't know if they're feral yet.
Yeah, they may be feral babies, but we don't know.
So we'll just move on to the next room.
Okay. Oh, we have a woolen flax. I always wonder what the difference was.
Wool and flax?
Wool and flax.
Wool and flax. Wool having won out in the bloody battle with flax about 100 years ago. And yeah. This is a testament to that bloody battle.
It really is. You can see the pictures of the flax being... Oh, there's what that thing is used for, the hetchler.
Oh, okay.
It was for ratting up wool, it looks like, ratting it, teasing it out.
This wool is far too smooth. I will rat it up now.
It was for getting yourself that heavy metal look in the early 1800s.
Which is very hard without heavy metal, you know, to slam your head up and down to.
Right, but, you know, here's an exit. Mm-hmm.
In case you're panicking and you want to bolt.
Actually, we've got to go in there.
Oh, this is a fantastic looking room. There's a fire extinguisher here, just in case anything spontaneously combusts. It's a very lovely, lovely room that we're walking into.
Yes, you really should check this one out if you come by.
Mm-hmm. There's a barrel in case you want to, you know, if you've got an old person, you want to stash them in there. Look for the barrel marked gum. It's called a storage container made from a tree trunk, circa 1825, and it's more than capable of fitting most modern old people.
Right. Now, if you listen for the rest of the show, we're going to institute an early American museum scavenger hunt, where you're going to want to come in here and take things from the early American museum and bring them to us. I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Listen, it might be. Yeah. This is nice. Mm-hmm. The Justine Trek Animal Power and Butter Churn.
Right. So if your animals are running low on power.
No, you stick a goat or a dog on this rudimentary treadmill and make it run to make you butter.
Wow, the things we're missing in the modern age. You know, things aren't getting better. They're getting worse.
Yeah, exactly. There's a table saw in the 1920s.
We got the fingerprints of the Chesebros all over this one again. It's a table saw, apparently designed to saw the table, as far as I can tell. Because there's a big hole in the table. Where
that's because so the saw can get out.
Oh.
It's make flat cuts. The table saw.
Okay.
Now over here we got some. This is what I saw when I was coming in. There's the bestest sled in the whole world.
Wow.
This is a horseshoeing. This is a sled.
Okay, a sled.
And
that's what sleds used to look like. People were, once again, very small back in the early part of America. Very small.
This was for cuddling with your baby.
Mm-hmm.
You would get in this. It's probably, I mean, I'm guesstimating, but I'd say that it's probably about 3 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even 2.5 feet wide. And this is really, you pull up.
Take this into the woods one Saturday night when, you know, you get mom to let you have the sled and then go there and...
Yeah, look up at the stars and, you know...
Warm the cockles.
Do it in a sled.
Yes. So it's the early equivalent of doing it in a futon.
Right.
Prehistoric people did.
And here's a buggy, which is actually really cool.
It's a sweet-looking buggy. This must have been a top-of-the-line buggy.
And I like this because what it's got a seat about 2.5 feet wide for people to sit on. But then underneath, it's got a do-in-it place. You could lay out underneath the seat.
I mean, once again, you know, given the proposition that people were very small.
Right. Well, they were only about a foot and a half tall back then.
Given the dimensions of the modern obese bastard, this would fit maybe one person on the seat. But back then, it would have been in really great shape.
There's pictures of it with 15 people in it.
Wow.
Oh, that was just a fraternity prank.
Okay.
But there's Ralph Chesebro.
The Chesebro fingerprints are all over the American Museum. I want to reiterate that.
Now, here's a shovel that I don't think any human being could actually ever use.
Okay. It's an immense shovel from when giants walked the land, the war between the little people and giants.
Oh, it says they're not nearly as heavy as they look.
Oh, okay.
And the wooden shovels are preferred for handling grain.
I understand that.
But this thing looks more like a... like Cthulhu's spoon is what it looks like. I really wish you need to come out and look at the far left of the three wooden shovels.
Soul drippings down here at the bottom.
There's just a couple other things. Cast and forge iron garden reel, so you can, you know, reel your garden in at night. Factory made corn planter.
Nifty.
Homemade corn planter.
The difference between the factory made corn planter and the homemade corn planter. Yes, you can examine that.
Yeah, so it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's some a hay fork, and then a hay spoon, and then a hay what's up, which is nice.
Oh, very nice. It's wooden. And then they've got the factory made hay what's up, so you can compare the two.
Right. Packaging's all like that crazy bad Photoshop stuff with crazy fonts.
So as we can tell, the early American people were grimly obsessed with hay. Because
yes. That's all they had.
Very grimly obsessed.
Here's a corn shock tightener, which I don't really know what that does. I'm afraid of it, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if we can describe on the radio the fact that our corn shock is loose and needs tightening. I don't know if that's Okay.
I don't think it is, by the look.
Over here is the early American fuse box. You could cause hell on earth by yanking a couple key things in here, but we're not going to do that.
Right, because we're good people.
Uh-huh.
Today we're in good mode. So let's double back.
Okay. More buckets in case you have very small old people.
Some candle making implementation. And then some little tiny boots for little tiny people.
Wow, people were really small back then.
That's what I'm getting overall.
Yeah, that's the main lesson I've learned so far.
I'm really sorry about the coughing, folks. The cold I had on Sunday is breaking up.
It's verite, as far as I can tell. People's eyes were very small because we got some glasses here.
Very small glasses. Mm-hmm. Oh, here he goes, some furniture. Here's a book, a Holy Bible from 1829.
We're entering another very nice section of the Early American Museum. Again, with wood and the grim hay obsession. But now we're into more of a home sort of thing. We've got a lace-making bodkin, yet another thing we're not really allowed to talk about on the air, so we'll just have to edit this out in post-production.
There's a big gun.
An immense gun.
Unlabeled.
Looks like, based on what we've discovered about early American science, it would have taken 4 or 5 people to hoist that gun.
Yeah. It's a big gun. Mm-hmm. A cane made completely out of iron, which was really good for Grandpa.
I'm trying to get in close to this 1829 Holy Bible. It's a very small print, though. But that's actually the large print edition, based on how small the early Americans were.
We're looking at Psalm 111.
Okay.
And 112.
Lots of stains on this page, so God knows what they were doing with Psalm.
All right, okay. Let's move along.
Some furniture here. We can't climb in and touch it, which makes a lot of sense, given the state of our couch at home.
This couch is really in nice shape. I mean, it's from between 1840 and 1870.
Some very well-preserved couches.
And chairs.
And chairs.
This one's, look at that one. That looks like Cthulhu's throne. It's got some cool horns twisting around.
Oh, nifty. Well, it's, back in early America, people had their own Cthulhu.
Oh, no, my God, it is. It's buffalo. There's hooves as feet.
Oh, dear God. Is that really, I hope a real buffalo was involved. There's
I think it was.
Some very modern, gum wrapper that's been dropped on that chair.
But that's a real buffalo. There's a buffalo. Maybe the buffalo is just hiding underneath the chair.
Well, in which case, I think we better move along.
Right.
If there's one thing that What Channels Like does, it's enrage buffaloes.
Yes, we don't want to do that. Some more nice little knickknacks.
Mm-hmm. Calling card case. Yeah.
An ambrotype.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ambrotype. Isn't that an early photograph? Yeah. Early photograph and ambrotype, one of the early photographic methods.
Flint Stryker, Flint from G.I. Joe.
Oh.
Wasn't aware that his last name was Stryker.
Well, it may be possible that back in early America, Flint figures would typically get out of control and you just need to strike them. Some green glasses here.
Yeah.
Like green lenses.
Very John Lennon-esque.
Yeah, it's it's obviously well known that back in early America, the world was in black and white. And so this was an early method of trying to, see things in color. See
right,
things
exactly.
In green, It's very exciting.
It was.
Mm-hmm. A mustache curler back here.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah, it kind of looks like scissors, except that it's a mustache curler. The photograph, the man doesn't have a mustache, so he apparently over-curled it.
Hat block. Snuffer tobacco container.
Mm-hmm. A lot of very interesting, just, little things that don't mean as much to, the world. We don't curl our mustaches, and that's, in my estimation, a damn shame.
I try to curl my mustache, but I don't have all that much.
Generally doesn't work out.
No. Mm-hmm. We're back outside. There's a little bit about the Native Americans, and yes, touch me, so I'm going
to
touch
them. Okay, touch everything that you get the chance to.
The white-tailed deer was a very important animal, and they killed it. It's very soft and fluffy.
Yes, we've got a wow rating for this touch opportunity.
But I'm going to stop touching it now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here's some, this is what Illinois was doing in the Middle Archaic period.
Mostly involved rocks.
Yeah, rocks and jamming rocks into wood
mm-hmm.
to use as bludgeoning.
There's a book here that you can look through.
The Legacy of the Great Beast, which I think has to do with Cthulhu, actually. How to summon the Dread God.
Yet another.
From Mike the Mammoth Man.
Legacy of the Great Beast, the techno B-side of my hit. Recall.
Doll with the metalhead.
Nifty.
This is a nice trail of a mammoth, which is you really want to be careful if you find a mammoth trail. Just, walk to either side of the mammoth trail.
Exactly.
Don't walk straight down the mammoth trail.
Intensely well-sculpted gardens here.
Yeah, there's a really nice outside area.
Aggressively, in fact.
Oh, a capsule of history.
A capsule of history. History is contained in this table.
Kennedy, extremely critical condition after brain surgery. Senator shot after California victory.
Mm.
suspect identified as native of Jordan. I could feel him fire gun. That's a quote.
Hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Means that in early America, they didn't have articles.
French Union turns cold. De Gaulle calls up army. Wow, there's some interesting stuff over here. A bunch of little dogs.
Little dogs.
Little terriers. Scotty Banks.
Widely known as one of the five creepiest things you can come across in the dark. Statues of little dogs with glowing eyes.
Yes, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then little cannons.
Early American folding chairs.
Yes, those are nice.
Let's move along to this room here.
Quilt exhibit.
The quilt exhibit is still here. It's still here?
I guess it is.
Oh, fab. Longtime listeners of What Jails Like will remember the quilting exhibit, which intrigued and piqued us. So, it's some teddy bears over here if you want to check these out.
Oh, look at that.
Mm-hmm. It's,
those are
it's a large teddy bear.
Teddy bears. Now, what are these? Are these heaters? What is... Yeah, this looks like heaters.
Early American heaters.
Nice, right next to the teddy bears.
Very nice. Yeah. Some of them very small, some of them very large. One of them blue.
and then some weird articulated monkeys.
Oh, nifty.
One of them purple.
Mm-hmm.
They must be dress-up dolls.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington. Queen Mother.
You can dress up the Queen Mother. All kinds of strange edible implications
yes,
there.
Yes, there's
a piano here. I don't think, you can't touch, but it is an early American piano. It's a Steinway from 1876.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a collection of bags.
Early American plastic bags.
Well, somebody started collecting bags.
Mm-hmm.
And, but some of these are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, things that you're never going to see. Like, Chip and Dale, but in a different language.
Mm-hmm.
A Sargento cheese sticks bag.
One with some, I guess, original Roy Lichtenstein art or something.
Yeah.
Right there.
So this is, there's some pretty interesting stuff here.
Mm-hmm. Got an exhibit from a high school. Right here. Sydneyon is the name of the high school, I think.
Looks like
it's like 71, 72, or there's a program from 1919.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
1944.
Mm-hmm.
Sydneyon.
Apple Blossom Time, the other B-side to my techno head.
And here's a
quilt. This is a modern, though.
Oh, okay, I see what they... Okay, so they have thumbprints for the kids and then little apples for the teacher.
Okay.
I was getting confused.
Teachers like apples.
They do, so remember that, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a quilt. There's a little Reba McEntire going on there. Mr. Talbot.
Reba McEntire looking like the mutant that I've always seen her as.
Mr. Talbot.
Okay.
Really kind of...
Showing off.
Yeah. There he is. Some of these are very interesting, though. It's a friendship quilt.
Mm-hmm. I want to say Will Tate has done an especially good job here.
Yeah, he really has. He's got some serious bling and a huge button.
Mm-hmm.
On Will Tate.
Yeah, I want to say Will Tate's the big winner.
Here's a family memories quilt, which is very interesting.
Yeah,
very well done.
More narrative approach here.
Yeah, and I kind of like it. Very comic book-esque.
Does Will Tate have some stuff here, too? I like that guy.
No, but I heard that there's going to be a Will Tate exhibit.
Oh, good.
Next month.
Just say, I like that guy.
And now here's a quilt that utilizes that creepy photo on fabric thing.
Oh, yeah.
They used to do it, like, you know, huge arcades such as, Enchanted Castle outside of Chicago. But, you know, some pictures is very nice.
Picture of people miming, which is somewhat less than effective on photo, but is otherwise a good thing.
Here's one. Good try.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I do like Dylan Adams.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some crazy stuff.
Dylan, people, yeah.
Dylan obviously did this stuff on a computer.
Oh, okay, Dylan.
Illustrated.
Dylan M., the post-apocalyptic world he lives in. They beam down these alligators from flying saucers, and then there's this giant guy who doesn't have any limbs, and he's just got to deal with it, and then he's moving towards this one guy who does have a limb, and he's probably jealous or something of the guy who does have the limb, and I don't know what the guy in the flying saucer is going to do.
Now, this is cool.
Uh-huh. This is the first grade that's mainly just playing with shapes. You know, they're still understanding shapes
but
at this
Jacob's
point.
Jacob's really got... Ryan
mm-hmm.
Has some serious stuff going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's Jacob, who's at the exact opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, I think Jacob's really deconstructing the nature of shapes.
He really is. Mm-hmm. But and Ryan's only got a feel for pattern.
Also, some good work from Brooke. Yeah, again, you know, like taking the shapes and making other shapes out of them. You know, like a triangle out of squares, which I like a lot. It's a good approach.
And Shelby's got a good feel for form and color.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse has nothing going on.
No.
There's really nothing going on in Jesse's work.
Just
kind of phoned it in, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that cool. She's got some good work, but... Mm-hmm. And here's another first grade class.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a heart motif. A very, very much just cut out some hearts.
It's a freedom quilt. It's taking the pro freedom stance,
which is always good.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm pro dictator.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Josh here has his name written backwards, and it seems like his picture is drawn backwards. So I don't know if Josh is actually trying to say he's anti freedom or something.
Well, okay. So we've got an alphabet type quilt, mm-hmm. and it looks like.
It's very nice. I mean, people just identifying things that play a major role in their day-to-day life, such as a porcupine that's larger than the sun that Taylor has given us, a snake which is almost as large as the sun that Lou has given us, and a... Oh, my God, that turtle. See that turtle?
Hump
on that thing.
That turtle's got a... He's got a 52-inch widescreen TV in there. And here's some self-portraits. Mm-hmm. Hannah's got some self-esteem issues, I think. She's giving herself razor-sharp teeth.
And cut yourself on her nose.
Yes. Matthew, on the other hand, is one of those overachieving art kids.
Mm.
Yeah.
Clay's a stud. I like Clay.
Yeah, Clay's got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey, very, very much a role player waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Very sharp pointy ears.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. Dustin hasn't hacked S's yet.
Yeah.
At a very critical moment, they're making the quilt. Dustin has to get the S right this time, and Dustin kind of blows it.
But he envisions himself as some kind of weird puppy dog thing. So.
Yeah, I like the kid. You know, I mean, I'm rooting for him to get the S right next time. And he's very small compared to the other
Tyler
people.
About the black eye he's given himself.
I got my eye on Kimmy picture, for that one.
There's the picture of your daddy hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And then some grade school memorabilia, which I like very much.
Wow, it's a very big exhibit on the Sydney Grade School,
yeah,
which is very nice.
Yeah, I really like it. We've got some cool tools.
Mm-hmm.
Saw setters, levers, mm-hmm. hammer, wheel.
It's not a problem. It, you know, just adds realism to the recording.
So, bringing out the register.
How long has that exhibit with the Sydney Grade School been there?
Let's see, that opened, I believe, in June.
Mm-hmm.
And how much longer will it be here for?
I think they're going to pick it up after Labor Day.
Okay, great.
Where is the Sydney school exactly? Oh, okay, that makes sense. Where is Sydney?
Well, it's in, what would you call it? Like going toward Danville, what would that be?
And it's like east. Yeah, it's north, slightly north. And then east of Champaign.
Okay, so he's better the direction than I am.
That's just fine.
In my family, I always ask them if it's left or right, you know.
What kind of events do you have here? Is that the space for rotating events?
Well, we have, let me give you this right here.
Mm-hmm.
Our programs that we started with.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we started out with, let's see, that right side here. Okay. June the 3rd was when we opened that exhibit down there,
mm-hmm.
Discovery Area for Children. And May the 6th is when we opened officially to be open every day.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, not in May either. It's in June, July, and August we're open every day.
So you have different hours during
the day. But that was our official opening for the summer.
Okay.
It was in May. And excuse me,
that's all right. We'll come back around.
We'll come back around and
so we'll hang in suspense on that one. And we're going to head down to the discovery room. This may be where they're trucking the aforementioned discovery into.
Yes,
that I mentioned along the highway.
I believe so. No.
This is a very large space.
Really nice, though.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the discovery room.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go meet Zay Wright.
Zay Wright was.
And go to Zay's bedroom.
A colossus. I don't know. Zay's got a gun in this photo. I don't know if it's cool.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. We've got a butt.
January 1st, 1911. New year. Zay Wright, 14 years old. I'm a somewhat tall, slender girl with dark brown hair, hazel eyes, a rather fair complexion with a few very light freckles.
Okay, it's a very intense look on her face, which is not saying a gun. This is very true.
It's okay, we're in her bedroom.
Mm-hmm. I'm weirded out about being in Zay's bedroom. But this is what her bedroom looked like.
Here's another part of her diary.
Okay, we're going to go back to the diary. Here we go.
I have everything a girl can want. Horses, books, dogs, a piano, a nice room, good clothes, all of the necessities and simply everything money can get for me. But I don't ever have any company my age. I don't know anything about society except what I read.
Well, what I've learned from this is that Zay and women in general have not changed in iota since Zay's time.
They pretty much just want horses and pianos, as far as I can tell.
And they get the horses and pianos, and then they're upset that there's nobody hanging out. Mm-hmm. So you're just never happy. Never happy. Zay went to Champaign High School and graduated in 1914. Her high school yearbook said that Zay loves to dream. Zay went to Illinois Women's College in Jacksonville and graduated in 1918.
So she went on to college. Zay pro-dreaming, you know, the anti-dreaming camp, taking it on the chin from Zay. She had a collection of paper dolls.
And we could play with them.
We could.
Huh? Yeah, it says play with. It says please play with them.
Okay, so let's play with the paper dolls.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on, I'm going to...
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we got here? Get the Wily Chinee.
All right. I got the Wily Chinee.
Okay. You can get whichever other one you want.
Wait, let's see.
Okay.
I like this guy too.
Okay. Let's put a suit. Okay, see that suit down there? Put that on on the woman.
No. Well, her arms aren't but the right way to do that.
Okay. There we go. And now let's have the man criticize her misunderstanding of gender roles.
Okay. You silly woman. You misunderstand gender roles. There. So that was
okay, fantastic.
That's a little reenactment of something that Zay may have done with her paper dolls.
There's a diary excerpt down here.
Oh, is there? Oh, here we go. This is in her open bedroom drawer. That one was on the bed, which is very nice. This one is the little recorder's hooked to a drawer full of clothes.
So part three of the compelling narrative of Zay Wright's diary.
Well, I went to the banquet, and it was fine. But all the clothes, 3 pink satin dresses, some with slippers to match, and every imaginable color of silk. But of course, I could not expect to be dressed so fine, being so young. Besides, what good does it do? I believe in being dressed plain and neat. But does anyone think any more of you if you have on such fine clothes? Well, so much for that. At least I got just as much to eat as if I had been dressed in satin.
Zay, really wrestling with some of the issues.
Yeah, she really is.
Now, I kind of want to reenact that with the paper dolls, but we'll just move on.
Now, what I find interesting about Zay is that the articulation, I mean... Kids these days, they couldn't write like Zay just did.
No.
Now...
You really don't see, kids tackling the clothes issues, though.
I'm not sure what we're in right now. I'm going to back up real quick.
Okay, find out. I'm going to stand in here and feel...
It's just toys and stuff.
Just miscellaneous toys.
So I kind of want to watch my head and go under the...
Okay, we're going into somewhere. A tunnel now, and then I hope the ceiling gets larger in there.
Oh, boy.
Eric's giving it a wow. We are in a... Teepee of some sort?
Not a lot of Native Americans lived in Champaign County, but many hunted here. Champaign County was swampy and not a great place to live, but there were animals here. The Boneyard Creek in Urbana is named for the bones of animals that Native Americans hunted there. This structure is called a wigwam.
Okay, so we're in a wigwam. This wigwam's got a light on it.
Press this button
so we can see.
How Mangua balloon taught old woman to make apakwa. Cattail mats.
Okay.
Loon looked about for some cord. She found some that old woman had made from wikapi, the inner bark of the linden tree, the basswood tree. Taking the end of the cord in her beak, Loon carefully pierced the leaf crosswise. Then she pulled the cord through and pierced another and another. When she was through, the leaves were all fastened together as in a fabric. Kitira, the rain and the wind would have a difficult time getting through those leaves now.
Okay, I'm a little worried there. We don't really get the old woman's side of the story. Right. That was pretty much a loon-dominated account. So I don't want people, you know, taking them to home, necessarily.
I'm kind of creeped out because you can see the ends of, like, where that was the fox's face.
Yeah, we've got a fox's rug, and they left the face on.
Yeah, so let's get out of here.
Okay.
I'm creeped out by that. There's a rug with a face. Rug carpeting. Floor decoration should not have face. What's cooking on the hearth?
So we're now, you know, in a hearth sort of mode. The installation and operating instructions for hearth, presumably, kind of left behind here.
Yeah, what? Okay, I'm going to be nosy. Okay. Safety pilot propane conversion kit for vented gas log sets. Oh, you know, they ruined the magic. Ruined the magic for me.
You see behind the curtain sometimes.
Like sometimes something like a log cabin.
That was very nice.
An early futon.
An early futon. Brilliant.
I mean, it is. It folds up. It looks like you could maybe sit on it. It wouldn't be too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fold-away bed.
Well, that explains why the population boom occurred, you know, when it did, because early futons were not so comfortable.
Right. So that's, they did have futons. That's always good.
That's great to know.
Oh, no.
It's a big wooden contraption here. It's very intriguing. It's...
I'm trying to see if turning it is allowed. I think it is. Children discover.
We don't want children to discover that they're not allowed to turn things.
Yes, it is a butter churn that mm-hmm. you tie horses up to and make them make you butter.
Cool.
Four horses to make, like, probably a stick of butter. Good use of your horse.
Mm-hmm. You want to try this on? This is what we have here is a yoke. It's a piece of wood, and then there's two buckets tied to it, and there's a little thing for the neck. And you put the yoke around your neck, and then you carry the water from the well. It makes it easier to carry the water from the well.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot heavier in my hands.
Mm-hmm. But it's now kind of worked out?
Yes. I feel very Gunga Dinnish.
Okay.
I like this.
Eric is pro-yoke. I like the yoke.
I am. I don't like those all-white omelets.
Mm-hmm. So up with yoke.
Yes. You really need to come out here and try this yolk out, man. This mm-hmm. is good stuff right here.
I think that's going
to
change a lot of your outlook on some things. Some early American computers over here.
Yeah, early American. Let's see. Are they Macintosh?
They actually are early pieces of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming in the middle of the narrative here.
This is Pilgrim Quest.
It's
a phenomenal little mostly text-based... game where you're a pilgrim.
Well, I hope
try to get across.
I hope the Mayflower makes it.
Let's
the middle of somebody's game.
They probably ran out of quarters.
Mm-hmm. Is that telegraph here?
Oh, okay.
Can
you do this?
So I don't. Or I guess you can.
There's another telegraph here around the corner. It's an international from Modern Telegraph. Move to the right.
So where's around the corner?
I'm gonna go find.
Okay. Eric's gonna try to find the other telegraph, and I'm gonna try to make out what he's saying. Okay, he's found it. He's going to send me a telegraph message. I'm going to stay here with the recording equipment. So we're waiting for a message. We know that a message has come. Apparently, Aunt Petunia is stricken with a pleurisy.
What was yours?
Okay, where do you... Okay.
Are you getting
anything? No. Yes, he's got a 4-year-old nephew.
I'm coming over to make yours work.
Okay. So my character is dying to know if Aunt Petunia is surviving her pleurisy.
Okay, so...
And Uncle Stuart has a case of the gumption, so we're going to see how that turns out here through the telegraph. We've been waiting with bated breath for a long, long time, and we're still getting absolutely nothing on this telegraph, so we're kind of bugging out about the pleurisy and the gumption here. Consumption we're developing. No, I'm afraid we're not getting anything.
Okay, put that lever back over to the right and send me stuff.
Okay. I'm going to try to send a message now, quizzing him about Aunt Petunia's pleurisy. I'm afraid I don't know.
You know, radio bits like this.
Yeah.
Come on. You got this over.
Snotty best. No, I didn't break it. I think it survived centuries. It'll survive me. Trouble with the telegraph here at the Early American Museum. Kind of freaking out about the pleurisy.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll figure it out later.
Okay, we'll just leave Petunia and her pleurisy where they are. Water fountain. I'm going to get an Early American drink from the Early American water fountain.
Oh, Mark. Oh,
man. It is Early American water. Ooh.
Oh, my. Okay, I really like the Early American Museum, but don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water.
Okay, the question now before us is challenges, choices, and changes for Champaign County.
Challenges, choices, and changes for Champaign County, 1815 to 1870. It's a very wide man.
Well, this is John Coffey of Charleston, Illinois, portraying a typical Champaign country farmer, county farmer, on his way to the ballot box.
Hmm. Okay, we've got a ballot box here. So
a hell of a suit on, man.
It's really is. Thanks to him for the hell of a suit. Let's stuff the ballot box, I think. Let's try to get Champaign and Urbana to merge again. See if we can do that.
Back to Champaign. Urpain.
Urpain. That's my vote.
So this is
about slavery.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, even if we don't do comedy about slavery. Moving along here.
There's just some more stuff.
Similarly, it's a store. Some sort of store. You could buy metal things. They're very old.
There's some juggling pens.
Early American apples.
There's really short people. See?
Yes, once again with the very short people. That man was actually a basketball player in his time.
He's like 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Maybe. He's not even 5 feet tall. He's like 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go in the Doan House.
Okay, we're heading towards the Doan House.
I'm not sure what the Doan House is. There's a building.
Okay. The Doan House was a building.
Yes, somewhere.
It's one of the first buildings to have an exit sign on it.
Yes.
Right, red exit sign.
No, this is about Lincoln.
Okay. Again, with Illinois' ongoing obsession with Lincoln.
Fort Sumter has surrendered. J.T. Everett has not, but it is now opening a fine stock of new goods at his new store on the east side of the railroad, one block east of the Doan House, a fine stock of dry goods, groceries, provisions, burning fluid, kerosene, and all the et ceteras belonging to a well-selected stock of goods. Remember the place and also the fact that we are not beaten in price or quality, Joseph T. Everett.
It's kind of a funny ad from J.T. Everett.
Yeah,
so get out there and support J.T. Everett.
I mean, yeah, if you can get to his store, you know. This was, God knows when, April 18th, the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's some Civil War gear.
Oh, okay.
Sword and gun.
Eric and I are going to reenact the Civil War now.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Are you from the North or from the South?
I am from the North.
I am from the South, y'all.
I suppose I will have to shoot you now.
Well, not if I shoot you first.
Hmm. Bang! So there's the Civil War pretty much in a nutshell for you.
Yeah.
Which is like trench and social commentary. Scores again.
Why I always have to play the crazy bastards who, you know, were wrong in every situation.
Yeah, your character was significantly crazier than mine.
Then you hear his drawl.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him say y'all.
There's some letters here on very old paper, original letters. Damn near incomprehensible writing.
Yeah, it really is.
Just nattering on about a girl in a letter that he sent. In fact, it seems to be an early example of metatextualism.
Well, yeah, letter to his sister, Nettie.
Yeah, it's a letter about letters.
My praise is me off, and these letters from home and the remembrances of quiet, holy pleasures are almost our only salvation in this rough, unpolished life. They and our Bibles form the chain which connects us with the world of peace and civilization we have left, and by which we hold on as we descend into this pit of death and iniquity. Stephen Forbes. Later a University of Illinois professor.
Oh, I had him. Did you?
Yeah. Okay. But I think it's pretty phenomenal that, once again, I mean, the quality of language in their letters back then, like, today I'd be like, yo, what's up, Nettie?
Yeah, why ain't you been sending me no emails?
Damn. Yeah. I shot me a couple of people that don't look like us.
They and Maxim form the chain which connect us to the world of peace and civilization.
And I'm also glad that we're not in a time when the Bible is like, you know, the end all be all of civilization.
Hmm. Quiet, reflective point.
You could watch their Champaign County during the Civil War videotape.
Early American TV VCR.
Yeah, early American.
Is this the telegraph that you were using? Okay.
Yeah. Yours is broke.
Okay.
But broke. Okay, well, I think we made it all the way through
Through the downstairs.
Well, this is, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, there's a new exhibit coming in the summer, this says.
Okay, we'll have to come back.
Just a moment for the rocking horse over here. You're not allowed to touch the rocking horse, but it is an early American rocking horse. Horses were very disturbing in early America.
They're missing big chunks on their neck.
Mm-hmm. Once again, with the very small people, there's a rocking chair over here.
Maybe 6 inches wide.
Yeah, that I can lay my... I can work my thumb into it.
And that was used by 300-pound Chasen Chedford.
Mmm.
Yeah, so... They were 300 pounds, but he was still pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very differently shaped there.
Well, that's
That's the LA American Museum.
That's the LA American Museum.
Let's see if Jane has time to talk again.
Yes, on her way out.
Hi.
Hi.
Are we the only...
I was going to tell you now, when we opened that, was May the 20th, piecing it all together. That's the Sydney Grade School Quilt Project. Oh.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because every child made their own block.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay, and what else did you ask me a while ago?
Well, is that where you put, like, when you have new exhibits coming in, like, from outside, is that where you put them?
Well, usually when we have new exhibits in the spring, most of them are up on this floor.
Okay.
Not always. It depends on what they're putting in, like the children's area down there when we put in... the discovery area, you know, so that was downstairs. And let's see where else. Well, I think that's about the only thing they did downstairs this year was that one.
You have different events going on during the day, right? Like Senior Day, I think was?
Today was Senior Day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they talked about the Elder Hostel. Mm-hmm. And that was really great to hear all these people talk about their adventures in that Elder Hostel program, you know, places that go, of course, part of them went to England and different places. It's really great.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go check out the gardens there. Thank you.
Yeah. The gardens are beautiful this year because we had the rains at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever seen them any prettier.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Well, then we will definitely head out there.
You have had a great time.
Well, thank you.
Nice you too. Pleasure. Thank you. The rains. Major contributor in making the garden the way it is, which we're going to show you by the magic of radio.